So we're beginning the first perek of the Derech Hashem. I don't know if we'll cover the whole first perek now, but we'll cover a little bit of the first perek as much as we can in the short time that we have. So the first perek deals with Babore Yisbarach Shemo. This is a description of the Creator, blessed be His name, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as the Sefer is called Derech Hashem, so we first talk about Hashem Himself. Now it's always very important to note that the Ramchal was a great man in many areas of Torah, both from the, you know, I'm sure from the Nigla perspective as well, but certainly in the Torah HaNistar, he was a giant, and he was a giant in Musar, and he was a giant in philosophy, and he approaches things from very many different viewpoints. Now, you don't get a picture of that all in the Derech Hashem. In the Derech Hashem, you get a lot of his maskanos. You get a lot of his conclusions that he drew from his greatness in all areas of Torah and philosophy and Kabbalah and all the other things that he was amazing at. But you don't always see where he arrives at those conclusions. So we're not going to always describe how it is that the Ramchal, even to the point that we can understand it, we're not always going to describe how it is that Ramchal arrived at a particular conclusion, but nevertheless, these are the maskanas and the rules that he laid out, and sometimes we'll contrast them with perhaps some things you'll find other places, and maybe mention things that Ramchal writes in some of his other Sfarim, but along the way, these are the yesodos, the fundamentals that he wants to lay out in terms of really how things work in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and how Hashem created the situation that we are in, that we find ourselves in right now. So let's get started. Kol Ish Mi Yisrael, every single Jew, and in the Pirush Or HaDerech, he has a footnote here describing that this sefer is dafka written for Jews. Tzarech sheya'amin v'yeda sheyesham matzui rishon. So you have to believe and you have to know that there is a first existing being, or sometimes what they call a first cause. But before we get into that, we'll talk about the idea that he says sheya'amin v'yeda. You have to believe and you have to know. So many have pointed out that this is recognizable from the language of the Rambam. In the Mishneh Torah that we have, the Rambam writes tzarech leida, you have to know. However, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which granted is a translation, there it's translated, generally speaking, that you have to be ma'amin, you have to believe. Right, so these are two different lashonos that the Rambam uses in two different contexts. Right, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the lashon of the Rambam is v'hushenamin sheyesham, that you have to believe that there is an aloka, there is some type of God, right? But in the Mishneh Torah, he writes yisode yisodes v'amura chachmos leida sheyesham matzui rishon. So here he uses both. And many have discussed this idea that he's saying that there are really two aspects to approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is the aspect of emuna, that we believe in Hashem for various reasons, whether it's that we simply have this blind faith that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he exists, and we feel it in our bones, and for lack of a better term, we bet our lives on it. We spend our lives acting as if we believe 100% that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. And the second thing is yidia, that we know it, meaning how do you know something? You know something by investigating it, whether it means investigating Hashem through His Torah, whether it means investigating Hashem through His world, His creations, whether it means investigating Hashem through philosophy. But all of these things refer to yidia in the existence of Hashem. So here the Ramchal is saying you have to have both, and some have pointed out that it's interesting that the Ramchal first puts the word sheyamin and then he puts the word sheyeda, right? First, a person's yediyah has to be rooted in fundamental, what we call emuna pshuta, a simple faith that this is what I believe and I'm not wavering from this, because really you have to start with that in order that the yediyah can bear fruit, meaning generally speaking, there are very few people in the world that I am aware of, but I'm sure there are exceptions to this rule, who go out seeking the Ribbono Shel Olam and come away with nothing. If you're looking for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you will find him. But you have to start off by looking for him. If you start off by saying, no, I believe in nothing and I'm out to prove that there's nothing. So some of those people even go out and they prove that their Ribbono Shel Olam exists. However, if you're far less likely to come to the conclusion that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists if your goal is to start off with nothing. If your goal is to start off, I'm looking for the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know he's there, I'm just looking for him, I want to find him, then you're on the correct path that's going to lead to something that's very, very important and very meaningful. So that's why the Ramchal, I believe, starts off with Sheyamin V'yeda. You first have to believe, and then you have to know, meaning it's not enough to shut your eyes, throw your hands up and scream, I believe, right? That's not enough. That's important. That's the first step. But the second step is to then reinforce that belief with actual knowledge. So you're coming to your belief in Hashem from a position of strength, that you not only believe that Hashem exists, but now you have gained tremendous knowledge that Hashem exists. Also very important to realize, there is, to my knowledge, unless a person has real Ruach HaKodesh, which the Ramchal is certainly going to address that particular issue, unless you have real Ruach HaKodesh, you're not going to know in terms of beyond any shadow of a doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. There's always going to be some level of doubt, and that's according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvah to believe in Hashem, meaning there has to be the opportunity to not believe in Hashem in order for there to be a mitzvah to believe in Hashem, right? And there's a famous comment that I believe Rabbi Chana Wasserman, I could be wrong about that, about who made the comment. I think I once heard it as Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said it to Rabbi Chaim Brisker, but it's possible that someone else said it. It's possible that it was somebody else. But he said, how is it Shaykh that in the days after the coming of Mashiach, meaning the Rambam, anything the Rambam included in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam believes will even be a mitzvah during the Yemos HaMashiach. How is it Shaykh after the Yemos HaMashiach that there will be a possibility to not believe in Hashem at that point? How could there be a mitzvah to believe in Hashem when after the Yemos HaMashiach there's certainly not going to be anybody who doesn't believe in Hashem? And Reb Chaim, or whoever it was that answered, said that no, you have to say that the Rambam Shita is that although now, let's say, again, I'm making up these numbers, but let's say now that you can come to a conclusion of 85% chance that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is real, and 15% chance that God forbid he is not real, and therefore it's a mitzvah to believe in the 85%. In the times of Mashiach, it'll be 99.9% chance that Hashem is real, and there's a 0.1% opportunity. If you want to deny the obvious, feel free to deny the obvious, but it'll still have to be a chance. There has to be the opportunity to deny a Kadosh Baruch Hu in order for there to be a mitzvah to believe in him. And therefore, that's how he wanted to suggest that it works out according to this mitzvah. Okay, that's, you have to know, you believe and you have to know, Sheyesha Matzui Rishon, there is a first existent being, Kadmon, he preceded everything, V'hu Shehimtzi Umamtzi Kol Mashenimtza B'mitzius, and he is the one, he is the one who caused everything else to come into being, right? And he is not part of it, right? He's the Himtzi and he's the Mamtzi, meaning he is the reason for existence. Existence is not the reason for him. Kol Mashenimtza, everything that exists is because of him. And V'hu Aloka Baruch Hu, he is the God, blessed be he. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reason for everything. He is, right, he is not, there's nothing that exists that's the reason for him. He is a self-sustaining being who is beyond time and space because he created time and space. Everything that we exist within, he is outside of that. There's nothing that drives us that also drives him. And there's nothing we can do to affect him in any way, right? If you read the Ma'amar Ikarim, I think the Ramchal writes over there, there's nothing we can do to affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. We can't hurt him or help him in any way in that regard. Now, there are things that he wants us to do, that he tells us he's proud of us when we do them, and he's upset at us when we don't do them, whatever that means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But essentially, we're not affecting his existence or his status in any way by our actions. So that is the first. That is the first point. Point number two in Os Beis. Od Tzarech Sheyeda, Shehamatzui Azay is Baruch Shemo. That we have to know that this being that truly exists. Ein Amitas Mitziuso Museges Lezulaso Kla. There is no one else who can possibly understand or grasp that what it means for his existence. V'rak zeh no debo shehu matzoi shalem b'chol minei shlemus v'lo nimtza bo chisaron klal, which he is fully in existence and he is fully complete in every way, and there he has no chesronos. There's nothing about him that is lacking. It's not that there are certain needs that he has to fill, and therefore we can somehow, the fact that he created everything somehow fills a need for him in the classic sense. Now we will discuss. Perhaps, and I don't really have a good way to go about discussing it, but we can discuss a little bit of, it's hard to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created anything else besides himself if he didn't really have any needs. And if you want to say that it's because he wanted to give, so isn't that considered a need that he needs to give? All right, so we'll try a little bit maybe to touch upon that issue a later date, but right now, just understanding that he is complete in every single way of completion. Now, one thing I skipped is a great quote that I saw in a number of Pirushim. I'm reading from the Or HaDerech right now. That's the edition of the Derech Hashem that I'm using. It's an excellent parish. I saw it in a few other Pirushim as well. Everybody quotes this in the Rav. The Or HaDerech is written by Rav Binyamin Efrati. So he did an excellent job here elaborating on a lot of issues that come up in this great Sefer. And he quotes the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who wrote this after the Derech Hashem was published, but in Shar Aleph Perek Beis, right at the beginning of the Sefer, he has a famous differentiation. I don't think Reb Chaim Volozhiner is the only one who makes this distinction, but he quotes it from Reb Chaim Volozhiner over here. So I'm going to read you the actual Lashon because he gives you the full quote. Maybe we won't do the whole thing, but it says there's a difference between Midas Basar V'dam and Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm skipping, just paraphrasing the first part. It says, when a person builds something, you build a house, you make a painting, and you leave it there, it doesn't need you to exist anymore. And the reason that is so is that you didn't really create the house. You didn't really create the painting. You formed it with elements that were already in existence. There was paint, there was canvas, there were brushes, and you put that all together to form this beautiful painting. But the painting was just you moved around a few of the existing elements and now they're all together, and therefore you have this beautiful result. The house, you took all the materials that already existed and you put them in the form of a house and you did a great job of it, but you could now walk away and never look at that house again. The house will exist just as well without you. And now I'm picking up from the Lashon of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Aval hu yizbarach shemo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kemo be'eis b'riyas olamos kulam, baram v'imtziyam hu yizbarach yesh me'ayin b'kochos abilti tachlis. He created all of these things, yesh me'ayin. He created them something from nothing, meaning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused existence to come into being, whatever scientific explanation we have for that, whether it's the Big Bang or just something else, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create, he did it yesh me'ayin. There was no matter, there was no time and space, there was no physical world, and then he created a physical world not based on any other physical force, and therefore he created it yesh me'ayin. It was something from nothing. That was the only time that anything's been created, yesh me'ayin. So it was with his koach that we can't comprehend, and we don't have anything that's similar to it. Kain me'az kol yom v'chol rega mamish. So based on that, every single day and really every moment of every day, kol koach metziusam v'sidurim v'kiyumam tole rak b'mashu hu yisbarach shemo mashpia b'em b'ritzone yisbarach. Their continued existence is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to prevail upon them to exist. Kol rega, every second, koach v'shefas or chadash, he's renewing this koach and this heavenly influence of light, the new light that he's bringing in every second to creation to allow it to continue to exist, right? V'ilu haya hu yisbarach mesalik miyam koach hashpa'as, so af rega achas, right? Kirega hayu kulam le'efes v'to. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cease to influence the world, and he would stop, like, you know, whatever it would mean in godly terms, that he would stop paying attention to the world and stop willing it to exist, it would immediately cease to exist. Nothing can exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively willing in it, you know, to be that way. I think that's what we refer to when we say in the Birchos Kriyashma, Machadish Betuvo Kol Yom Tamid Ma'ase Bereishis. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day renews Ma'ase Bereishis. He's redoing Ma'ase Bereishis every day, and it's not really every day, it's really every second. Because when I create something, I'm not really creating it, I'm just moving things around, I'm forming it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just form things. He's not just a Yotzer, he's also a Borei, he's a creator. And he created the entire universe, Yesh Me'ayin, and in order for that to continue to exist, he has to will it into existence. And that's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Himtzi and a Mamtzi. Right, so we skipped over that before, but just coming back to it, you have to keep in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in a different way than any of us create anything, and therefore his creation has to constantly be re-willed into existence, versus our creations exist independently of us. Okay, going forward, we already said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely shalem, and there's no difference. There's no such thing as shalemus, and there's no completion. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has no chesronus. He's not lacking in any way. He is perfect in every way of perfection. V'ulam, says the Ramchal, Dvarim eila yadanim b'kabbalah min ha'avos min avim. How do we know this? So number one, we know it from our forefathers, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We know it from the Nevi'im. V'hisigum, that's point number one, how we know it. Number two, v'hisigum kol Yisrael b'mayim et Har Sinai. Our forefathers at Har Sinai experienced this, and our neshamas experienced it at Har Sinai as well. Va'amdu ala mitasam beveira. That was a time where we saw it clearly with our own eyes, and we experienced it for ourselves. It wasn't just our forefathers telling us, and it wasn't just the Nevi'im prophesying on our behalves. That was us experiencing it. V'limdum levneim dorach ador kayom hazeh. And they taught it to each subsequent generation like today, meaning get up until today. So we came to this understanding based on a direct Mesorah that really started with the Avos, continued with obviously the Shvatim and in Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon and Miriam and leading us, and we were masig it ourselves at Har Sinai, and since that revelation at Har Sinai, we have passed down that Mesorah, parents and to their children, Rebbeim to their Talmidim, etc., until this very day. Shekin Siva Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Mipi Agvura Pentishka Chazadvar Masha Roei Necha Odat Olvnecha Vlivenev Onecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us that we should relate the Har Sinai experience to the next generation, and each child should teach it to the subsequent generation exactly what we experienced. And that's how the real way that we know anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very important to keep in mind. How do we know anything about God? We can't be masig. We said before we can't be masig anything about God, and we'll continue to say how we can't be masig anything about Him. So how do we know anything? The answer is that obviously those who are on the highest level of Nevuah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and those who are on higher levels of Nevuah, like other great Nevi'im, and those who have Ruach HaKodesh, can experience it to whatever extent, but we, the Jewish people, experienced it fully with the Ruach HaKodesh that Hashem showed us at Ma'amid Har Sinai, and we passed that down traditionally. We only know about Hashem what He tells us about Himself. There's no way for us to surmise anything about Hashem on our own. If Hashem gives us the Ruach HaKodesh, then we can experience it. If Hashem tells us something in the Torah, then we know that about Him. If Hashem tells something to a Navi and that gets passed down, that's how we know it. We can't possibly know anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we lack two very, very important elements. And this is the difference, really, between, let's say, the approach of the Rambam, who approaches the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a philosophical model, versus the Ramchal and the Mekubalim, who approach him from a little bit of philosophy, and they know their philosophy just fine, but more so from a Kabbalistic, but from a Kabbalah perspective, where in Kabbalah you're saying this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about Himself. Otherwise, we have no way to be masked. The Rambam doesn't, besides what's in the actual Torah, he didn't study Kabbalah, and he doesn't have that tradition of what Hashem told us about Himself. Now, we can know a lot about Hashem, or not a lot percentage-wise, but a lot more than nothing about Hashem from His Torah. But that the Rambam certainly starting off with that. But in addition, we can't be masig HaKadosh Baruch Hu through philosophy for two basic reasons. Number one, when you philosophize about God, you are limited by your own intellect. Meaning, I can't think thoughts that are smarter than I am. It's a very important thing to keep in mind. I can't think anything that's smarter than me. Now, there are people who've thought thoughts that are smarter than I am, and then will break them down in a simpler way. But those thoughts really aren't smarter than I am. I just wasn't able to originate them on my own. But there are certain things that a person who's simply smarter than I am can think those thoughts, and it could be that he's so much smarter than I am that he can't even if he explained them to me perfectly, I still wouldn't understand them because it's just above me. That is a definite, you know, problem when it comes to me, Masig, Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's infinite. I can't be Masig that because there are certain things about Hashem that are just above me and beyond me, and there's nothing that I can do about it at this point in time. I'm limited in my scope of intellect. I only have an IQ that's a certain point, and I can only understand certain things up until a point. That's point number one. That's the less important, I think, of the 2 points, although it's certainly important. Second limitation is that I can't understand anything that is beyond my experience. I can't think thoughts and formulate ideas that are beyond anything that I have experienced in this world. And that the simplest mashal for that is trying to explain color to a blind man. It's not that the blind man isn't smart enough to understand what color is all about. It's that he lacks a certain ability and experience that, since he's never seen color before, he doesn't have the ability to sense it with any of his existing senses, he can't understand it. Not because he's dumb, because he's simply beyond his experience. And that's a problem that we have with certain aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So that's why when you approach God from the philosophical model, you can really only say what Hashem is not. You can't say what he is. So you could say he's infinite, but we don't know what infinite means. We've never experienced it before. You can say he's not finite. He's not limited in any way. That we know. That's why the Rambam feels so strongly HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a goof, right? There's no other forces at work, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical in any way, by definition, he's limited. If he's more this, then he's less that. Can't be less in any way, shape, or form. So that's the idea of the philosophical model. When you have the Kabbalistic model, in addition to that, so you can at least say, no, we have a lot more information that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us about him. And by studying this area of Torah, you can be masig certain aspects of godliness that you couldn't come to the conclusion on your own. Now, certainly from discovering Torah San Nigle, where they're talking about Tanakh, where they're talking about Shas and Midrashim and the like, so then we have some information about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but obviously, it's always going to be Iker Chasser Min HaSefer that we don't have the full understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Simply, we have the picture of what Hashem wants to show us at any given time. To paraphrase what Hashem said about a different thing in Parshas Kisis, V'ra'isa es achorai ufanai lo yeirou. You can see my back, you will not see my face. And that was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon Kol HaNavim. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't give him the full picture. He gave him a greater and fuller picture than he gave anybody else in the history of humankind, but he didn't give him the full picture. Okay, so this is the Ramchal saying that what we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know from the traditions that we received from our forefathers. Amnam. Gam mitzarach hakira b'mofsim halimudiyim ye'amsu kol ha'inyanam eila. However, if you then take the information that we have at our fingertips from the various wonders and ideas that are available to us, you can prove these things that we learned via tradition. Okay, so he says that we can basically prove these ideas from what's at our disposal based on chachmasat teva handasa tchuna shara chachmas. Whether it comes from nature or physics or math or any other types of wisdom, shemehem tilakachna akdamos amitios asher yivale mehem birur anyanim amitiyim alalu. Right, these can serve as introductions, you know, some type of saying you can take true steps in the right direction that will eventually lead to clarification of these true facts that we have received from our forefathers as true. We're not going to get into this too much. We're going to focus on the things that we're not going to try to prove anything or try to get involved with this, but it can be done. Basically, if you learn these chachmos properly, you will come to the right conclusions. But for us right now, we're we're going to just talk about what we have in terms of our traditions, what we were taught. Okay, let's do one or two more about in this area. Od tzarech sheyeda. One more thing you have to know. Shahamatzo yizbarach shemo hine mitziuso mitzius muchrach sheyefshar hadaro klal. Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence is must. It's an existence that must be so, and it's impossible that it would not be so. Meaning, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would not exist, right, nothing would exist, right, and therefore you have to understand that the only thing, if I would cease to exist, if you would cease to exist, everything else would go on. We just wouldn't be there. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would cease to exist, as we've outlined from the Nefesh HaChaim, then everything would cease to exist. And Os Dalid Od Sarach Sheyeda Shemetziuso Yizbarach Shmo Eino Talui Bezuloso Klal Elamei Atzmo Hu Muchrach Hametzius. Also important to keep in mind that his existence is not dependent on anything else. Rather, he exists. He is the driving force behind his own existence. There's nothing that brought God into existence. Rather, God brought everything else into existence, and it's not the other way around. Okay, obviously, all of these are very, very loaded statements, and you know, a person with better understanding than myself could go on for a very long time about these things. But for us right now, we're just going through the basics and understanding what the Ramchal is laying out there. So for now, we're going to hold here because Osei is a long one, and we don't have time to finish the entire Perek right now, but Bezrat Hashem, next time we will try to finish Perek Aleph in Chelek Aleph of the Derech Hashem.